most famous brachim in all of Shas, one of these catch-all brachim, which has a whole bunch of important stuff in it. And he's talking about if somebody is damaged, then you pay them back with the best property that you have in your possession. Ubalchov, if somebody is a balchov, somebody who's a creditor, you pay him back based on this medium property. I said in your possession, that was a slip of the tongue. I didn't mean to say that. Just the best. Balchov, the bainonis, with middle grade. Ksuvasisha, the ksuva woman. Busy Boris, low grade. Ashuna Liamar, af ksuvasisha bainonis, ksuva woman, also by medium grade. Now, me. Yeah.
Tangential. Well, we had this, this gemara in Ksubas in the morning about Teres Abbas Chalav the Dvash. We had that in Yerushalmi.
Yeah, we had it, but a different place, not at the end of Ksubas.
I looked up in my notes. We had a new Bikurim, and it wasn't very shlokish. We did talk about Sipori. It was. Guys. Uh-huh. They said slightly different.
Yeah, Bikurim, that's what it was. I knew that. All these are guys, there's a parallels in the Baal Yerushalmi, but elsewhere.
The key parallels probably in the Medrash more than the Baal.
Elliot Robinson told me that one of his, the conservative female rabbis at the Wexner Institute, Fellowship Institute, wrote a paper comparing the Agat, the end of Ksuvas, and the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi, which I guess the Yerushalmi Bikurim. So I told him he should get it for me, but he hasn't gotten it yet, right?
There is something in the Medrash Rabba that discusses Eres Abbas.
Yeah. So I actually heard this from Jeremy Newman, and he said that and I did not know this, and I haven't seen it anywhere else. But he told me, maybe you heard this, that the Medrash Rabba is based mostly on the Agadot of the Yerushalmi.
I think it's wording is slightly off. They were parallel. I don't think that one's based upon another. I think they're parallel time. My brother on the Chemi Pol was like, it's a maven on the Rosh. He can tell you everything about it. I think they're parallel. More than one based upon another.
Okay, that might be. Okay. So, Kav v'chomer l'hekdish. The Gemara immediately starts off and says that if you nizakin, you pay yiddish. Certainly hekdish, you pay yiddish. So what is that Kav v'chomer l'hekdish? What are we talking about? Now, it seems that that's a braisa. So, I'm Rabbi Abba bar Kuni Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Abba Papa said Rabbi Yossi, Manukim, what are we talking about? Im l'hekshin nizikin, if we're talking about your ox, Hekshin Ezekin is a euphemism. I'm not sure exactly where it comes from. Oh, I know where it comes from. Hekshin Ezekin means a nezek which you prepared or allowed. Meaning not that you yourself damaged, but your ox damaged. So if it's talking about where your ox gored, hekdesh, that's that which, well, in that case, that's that which you learn. Shore eyu velo shor shel hekdesh. Nezekin only applies to shor re'eu, and not a shor of hekdesh. If your ox gores your friend's ox, not if your ox gores a hekdesh ox, or anything which has to do with hekdesh. So it's an interesting thing the Or Sameach says, that when you, what does it mean shor re'eu v'lo shor shel hekdesh? If you damage hekdesh, you have to pay, right? Obviously, it doesn't exempt you from payment. What it means is that it's not a parameter of what the Torah calls nizkei mamon. It's a parameter that the Torah calls a debt. You incur a debt. When you damage your fellow human being, you're entering into the category that the Torah calls mazik, or nizkei mamon. When you damage hekdesh, though, you're generating a debt, which you have to repay hekdesh. It's not the same thing. That's what Gemara is saying over here. That even though the Torah says, by nizakin meitav sadehu meitav karmo yishalem, that's talking about nizokin, where you damage your friend. But where you damage hekdesh, that ben odom chavero component is lacking. So therefore, as the Gemara at first glance is grappling with this, how do you know it's a kavachomer for hekdesh, right? Maybe hekdesh you pay less. Maybe it's stavka, what's classified as nizokin, a damage to your fellow man, you pay yiddish, but not when it goes to hekdesh.
Hey, Moshe has a different distinction. Yeah. He says that it has to do, the distinction is whether you damaged or whether your property damaged.
Yeah, but that's not. Yeah, that's. I know that they say, but I don't understand why that should be a difference.
It's totally not apparent.
Yeah, they. Carbon Ada also says the same thing, but I didn't understand that. So in any event, so says Amar, in Leniza Nizke Gufo, this story about actually where your you were mazik hekdesh personally. In other words, you yourself are mazik hekdesh. So hodo the time Rabbi Chiya, that's not what Rabbi Chiya said. The zokin hedjav and the zokin gavo. Again, the same idea. Personal damage which you wreaked on hekdesh is not in the parameter of personal damage wrought on a fellow human being. So again, how do we know that in this case you would talk and pay meitav? Maybe you don't pay meitav. Maybe you don't give it this. Maybe it's like any other baal chol, benonis. Well, how do you know this meitav? Elkein kayomet. So where's the kav chomer? Kav chomer the following case. But even if somebody says, hare olai mea mona lehekdish. A guy says, he takes upon himself a pledge to give $100 to hekdish. Shalotomar, you might say, that the Shalotomar yaseh baal chol, let's say that he becomes a baal chol, v'yive bebenonis, and therefore he collects in benonis, right? The hekdish collects in benonis. L'fum kein, therefore, Tzarech Meim, we have to say, Nizokin Shomim Lem Be'idis, and Nizokin you pay Idis, Kavachomer Lehekdesh, Kavachomer Behekdesh, you pay Idis as well. Now, the Gemara is very strange. I still don't understand the conclusion of the Gemara, because what's a Kavachomer? You know, Nizokin, maybe you pay more, because it's a Benom Chaber, as opposed to the case of Hekdesh, where there's no Benon B'chaveru, maybe their Benon suffices, and certainly it should suffice if all you did is pledge. I know you made a pledge that pledge requires you to give Idis to Hekdesh. So it's kind of cryptic. I don't know, I didn't...
I would think the Kamachome is in Benon B'chaveru, you think it is has come of a Kama for something spiritual like Hekdesh. Another Lomakom you pay Idis.
What? Yeah, but there should be some sort of... I don't know if you know, the Kavachor means even without a Pasuk. You know, that's a little bit difficult to say it's without a Pasuk. But that's what it says over here. You're right, that's like, Mamun Gavoa is a basic assumption that it's going to be more severe. Okay, you're right, that's what it says here, basically. All right, can't argue, but I feel there's something missing. Anyway, Tanya Ruchi, we learned Ruchi said, Nezik V'chati Nezik...
The only thing is, the way to pick on a Kavachor is, obviously they're saying Kavachor because there's a Kabbalah for it.
No, Zerah Shavah is Kavachomer. Kavachomer we can construe on our own.
Oh, you're right.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a concept of Mehila. Hekdesh is such a higher level that there's such a concept as Mehila.
Yeah, maybe that's a very basic out of Zerah Shavah, the Kavachomer. Maybe because there's Mehila, which is more stringent than Stam or Det. Could be that that's the reason that might be. Time Rebbechi, we learn in Bryce Rebbechi, it says, Nezek Mechati Nezek Nivim Minam Shubadim. If your animal damages, you're paying full, or you damage, you pay full nezek, or if your ox gores and you pay only half damages because it's a tum, it's not yet wood, so then nivim mishuadim is collected from property which you have already sold to sell, which you, even if you sell property, after the nezek, it's collected from that property. Oh. Yeah, Chati Nezek. Actually, it's interesting why it doesn't give the answer, that answer to the following question. Nicha Nezek. I understand Nezek, that you pay from Nechasim Meshubadim. But Chati Nezek, I don't understand. If you have Nezek, there's a principle, if your ox, which is a tom, gores another ox, so only pay Migufo. You only pay from whatever the value of your ox is. You don't pay from anything else. Right? There's a principle of Baba Kama. If you sell your own ox, or in order to pay for it, or you give him your ox, or divide up the ox, but it always is migufo. It's a payment that's based on the value of the ox that you have. So, how does nechasim mishubadim come into play? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi, it says tipote b'short tam shehizik. We're talking about where, in fact, an ox which was a tam damaged, v'alchobal mechoro, and the owner of the ox went and sold it. So then the damaged party goes and collects that ox from whoever bought it. The ox is already on the lien to the individual who is damaged. Or another interpretation. Rabban the Kesarin Amri, the rabbis in Kesarin said, we can explain it's about a case where already was adapted as a loan. Now, it's an interesting point which we're going to go into later on this evening. Even though something can start off as a type A, it can change later on to type B. And so the same thing here. Even though something could be originally start off as a Nezek, Nezek is only paid Migufo, but later on, at some point, they can agree that it will convert to a debt. And when it converts to a debt, it's not just Migufo. And there's advantage and disadvantage to that. For Nezek, it's from Edis, right? Chov is only from Beinonis, but Nezek is only Migufo, from the animal itself, right? Whereas Chov can even be from elsewhere, from the Chosim Mishubadim. So all sorts of trade-offs, but you can actually change the status of money owed from obligation type 1 to obligation type 2. Okay, so it says more matalo sikve elo bevenus. If that's the case, if you switched it, so should taka only collect in bevenus. Says more no, that they didn't switch. Now you can only, in other words, the nizak can agree to a partial switch, but not a full switch. That's within his rights. Magach yikar nezek. I assume that's what it means here. Since it was primarily from a case of nezek, goyve bevenus, the right to collect in edus remains. Okay, now it says Meitav Sadeu Meitav Karmo Yishalim. Sadeu, when it says Sadeu Pratlum Meshubad, it means you pay from fields which you had at the time of Nezek, not ones you sold off before your animal or you were Mazik. Karmo, and it says your vineyard Pratla Hekdesh. And here too we learn Pratla Hekdesh comes to exclude Hekdesh. So before we had we excluded Re'e of Lo Hekdesh. Now we learn Karmo of Lo Hekdesh, right? So what does it mean? Manakim, what are you talking about? We're talking about where you damaged, and then the property which you could have used to pay up the damage, you made hekdesh. Let's say it's an ox in the case of an ox, or it might be a field in the case of a field. In case we had fields, right? And well, let's say it's an ox in the case of the ox gores, or fields in the case where you yourself were mazik. Well, if it's an ox. Actually, the Begillion of Ephraim says this is only talking about an ox because the Gemara's answers. We learned that Hikdish Tishim Mana, well, it's Alocha, if you made something Hekdish which is worth 90 bucks, and you owed somebody 100 bucks, so the Alocha is that we redeem the Hekdish for a token sum, and the guy who's your creditor gets that thing which was hitherto hekdesh. So in fact, there is such a concept that the even though you have to redeem the hekdesh with the token amount, but lamaisa, this object goes to the person who was a creditor before hekdesh took over. So from this we see that even if you're mazik and then we're makdesh, then that doesn't help to get the object out of the status of being under lien to the individual to whom you're mazik. And vice versa, being b'shehikdish v'chakach chizik, if it's a case where you were makdish and then it was mazik, meaning, as I said, the Gilgamesh Prophet says, learning about talking about an ox, we consecrated the ox and then it was mazik, and we don't have to pay there at all. Shor re'eu v'lo shor shalekdish, where it's an oxen goring each other, where they both belong to hediotos, but not when one of them belongs to hekdish. So it says more about you, it says Tipotter, we can resolve it talking about Beshoshal Hekdesh, talking about the ox of Hekdesh, and ox of Hekdesh, Shera Latoch Sadeh Hedyot, which you grazed into somebody else's field, okay, and damaged it. So you grazed a Hekdesh ox into somebody else's field. So in that case we say that it's true that Shorei Euvalor Shoshal Hekdesh, which he had on top, exempts in Karen. In cases of goring, it exempts the parties from payment. However, we didn't know about Shane and Regel, where the animal ate or the animal kicked or the animal actually stepped on. Sorry, how we know in those cases that you're parted from paying because the ox, which already consecrated, did the act. So that we learn from Karmo. It's got to be a case where everything involved is like your vineyard, which is privately owned, as opposed to anything which is hekdesh owned. Okay? Amri Rabbanan, Rabbanan said, Adam bina karka hekdesh. No, that won't work, because karmo is going on the field, which is on the field, and you're making the ox a hekdesh ox. Right? It says karmo velosha hekdesh, so the mute, that exclusion, is going on the field in question. You're putting the exclusion on the animal in question. You're saying an animal of hekdesh, which grazed in a hedyot field, doesn't have to pay. But that's not I can learn out from Shorei of the Lord Shorshal Hekdesh, because that's about the ox. I need something which I can learn out from the discussion of a field. So what do I know from the discussion of a field? Okay, now I'm going to tell you about this. Boy, my real life, may mona the hekdesh. You promised 100 bucks to Hekdesh. And you personally went and were mazik. after you made this pledge to Hekdesh. Shelo Toma, you shouldn't say Ilun Izakinu Milva Be'edim. If the case a person owes money on a Nezek, and a person owes money on a loan where they're Edim. So on Izakim call me, we say the Nezek comes first. The Nezek is considered to be higher priority, and he pays that off if he has limited funds before he pays back the loan. The call, and so to hear you say, Kodem Anezek Lekdesh, so to you say, sitting over here, since damaging Hekdesh, like the Arsamach says, is a form of loan, so therefore you should pay the Nezek before you pay Hekdesh. The Fulm Kain Tzarech Lomema, it says, Kakarmo Prat Lekdesh, your vineyard precluding Hekdesh. So meaning that, interesting, the way we're learning this out here, we're saying that the Hekdesh is precluded from the hierarchy of these damages, and therefore it comes first in terms of Hekdesh is precluded from the hierarchy of Nezek and then debt, right? Normally you pay up what you owe on damages and what you owe on debt subsequently when you have limited funds. But here, since it says that whatever parameters apply to Nezek don't apply to Hekdesh, so therefore when you owe money even as a debt to Hekdesh, that takes precedence to what you owe to somebody else as a Nezek. Which again, it goes back to the principle we said before, that it's, you know, Hekdesh takes precedence, right? So, Sadeu, so the Metav Sadeu, Metav Karmo, Sadeu Prat Lemetaltalin, your field precluding movable objects, we'll see what this means, and Karmo, a different drush on the word Karmo, Prat Leroy Kamusa, something which it precludes something which is coming to you, but you're not holding on to right now. Now, what do these two things mean? Sadeu Prat Lemetaltalin, your land precluding movable objects, Behain, we're talking about an individual, the low boy Matal Mishori Shaina. He doesn't want to pay Matalin to begin with, right? And he has the right to refuse to pay. So in that case, we take his land, but others, we take his Matalin. And this is like we learned over there, the Tani, we learned Ain Yellow Karka. I only know that you, if somebody damages, you pay up in land, because it says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kramo Yishalem, right? Minayim Shir Mrotzo Litein Kesef. How do we know that if he wants to give money, we give money? Tam Lomer Kesef Yashila Baalov, because it says, money you give back to the owner. Now, and money is not just money, but also any other metaphor. In other words, Gemara is saying that any other metal is also included money. It's interesting, in the Bavli, we learn for the word metav. It says metav means anything good, and all metalin are good because you can always sell them and raise cash. But here we're learning from Keh, who said we're not learning from the word metav, rather learning from the words, what? Not so. Kesev Yoshi Labalov. Kesev Labalov means, and we're saying that Kesev includes metalin. Okay, as opposed to Meitav including Metalflin, Kesev includes Metalflin. Okay, not such a big Kiddush, but it is. But nevertheless, it is a difference. Now comes the interesting point, though. What Mabait Meimer? What are you going to say? Karka Ikar? Do we say that land is primary, or the flip side would be, is money primary? So it's interesting. Of course, in the Bavli, money is always primary, and that's how the Karmi Eid interprets here as well. But it doesn't seem the way from the Yerushalmi, which we're about to read. I think the Pnei Moshe does hold the Yerushalmi learns different than the Bavli. So the question is, when the Mazi comes to pay, what's preferential? Is it preferential for him to pay in cash or in land? So we would say in the Bavli, it's always preferential to give cash, even metalklin, better than give land, because land is a hassle to sell. But look at the language of the Yerushalmi here. If you're going to say money is primary, they let us give that over to begin with. And we have seen that the rabbis give over land instead of money. So in other words, when they're collecting from the debtor, they collect land. So from this, it seems to me that the Yerushalmi holds that even though the debtor has the right to pay off in money, but if he's recalcitrant and the creditor comes to collect from him, according to the Yerushalmi, we will go first after the land and not after the money. which I think is the opposite of the Bavli. If I recall correctly, the Bavli holds you always go after money first or metaltin first, and only if there is no money in metaltin do we then go after karkos.
Well, I'm going to put a Zionistic spin on this. It's Eretz Yisrael. The land is our land. It's Jewish land. So that's always going to be there.
But they're always... everybody is...
Chutz Lawrence, it could be taken over by the government, whoever it is, the Goyish government. So land is... I told you
It can be Zionistic, but it's got to ring with some degree of truth. I stand in awe of your pilful, but I don't think it has any shred of truth to it. Okay, on we go. For comic relief, it was good, though. Carmo, your vineyard, Prat Leroy Kumamuksak, it precludes that which is coming to a person, like that which is unlike that which is held by a person. This is actually a fascinating halacha. Rabbi Lezashem, Rabbi Nisso says it's like this. What does that mean? B'shechafer avibor, your father dug a pit. And of course, this pit was in the middle of the street, and people fell into it and got damaged, right? During his lifetime, that pit caused damage. Now your father died. And property fell to you after your father's death. Now, this property did not fall from your father, because if it fell from your father, the lien would pass with the property down to you. But I'll tell you about a case over here where the property fell to you from elsewhere. So I would say, once the father dies, he assumes all his father's debts, he's stabbing the chas of lo sanezek, and therefore whatever property he gets should become a shuba to that damage. That's why it says the his vineyard parat lemoyel kumuxo, as opposed to stuff which he could potentially get but was not holding on to at the time. So meaning stuff that the father had at the time that he died, or stuff which was coming to him at the time he died, that goes under lien. But the son, when he picks up that obligation after his father's death, does not have to pay for property which came from elsewhere to him after his father's death. Which is interesting, more because the chorit's poshut, right? But I guess we would say that there, you know, because the son is not responsible for all of his father's debts, he's only responsible for his father's debts as they relate to the estate. And here the property came from elsewhere. But I guess we would have entertained the havamina that nezek is different, that for a criminal act, you know, there's a Gemara in...
Hello?
Yeah. It's awesome to answer during the 3 weeks. Oh, it's awesome to let it ring during the 3 weeks. There's a Gemara in the I forget where it is in the Bavli, but it says that if your Baba Kama, if your father is stole, then it's kibud of, it's even though you're not required al pidin necessarily to return the gzela, kibud of aim, you're supposed to. Even in cases where we can't require your opinion, you're supposed to return it. So here too, I guess we would say the same thing. So it's saying that we don't put that requirement upon you. Okay, you're not required to return that which your father damaged. Even if you have the property and you're wealthy, damage is not the same like a criminal act of theft on your father's part, and therefore you don't have to return unless your father actually left you property. That's what it seems to say over here. Okay? Says a very famous machlokas, of course, in the Bavli as well. Meitav sadeh meitav karmo, the best of your field and the best of your vineyard, shall mazik. The best of the mazik has, divi Rabbi Shmuel. Rekiva omer, meitav sadeh meitav karmo, shall nizak. The best of your field and the best of your vineyard of the person who's damaged. Okay? So says Mar Yushami, very practical, classical Yushami type question. Says Mar Kasha Rikiva, Zibar Rikiva, Nisok. But his best might have been ruined. His dad property was damaged by the damager, right? So what do you mean? You're gonna give him his best based on what's now his best? It's ruined property you're assessing. Nisak. So how can you pay him his Metav Sadeh? Maybe that's precisely what the Mazik was Mazik, right? So how are you going to assess it? So it's very...
The question is, are you valuing the property after the damage or before?
Right, so that's what Yerushalmi basically says. El based in Royim, Ezu Yisoda Yofeh, Lifnei, it should be HaNezek. What was the best property before the Nezek? V'shumalakamo, and they assess it like that. However, it's Kehador. It's very important to note this. We spoke about this in the past, but not recently. If I, the similarity to put in modern terms and then we'll put into Gemara, if I, let's say in Dr. Spadell's case, which happens to me, that has happened to me, that somebody shears off the mirror of my car, so I'll pee din, I really can't collect from that person the cost of a new mirror. What I can collect from a person is only,
placement.
No, not even that, I can only collect the difference between the value of my car with a mirror and the value of my car without a mirror. That's what I can collect. So let's say you have a car which sells, which might theoretically, I guess it could be more than replacement cost, but it's probably unlikely. So let's say if you have a car, a jalopy, which is going to sell for only $100, right? It's really a jalopy. And somebody comes and breaks off your mirror. So the replacement value of that mirror might be $60. But if you sold the car without the mirror, it's going to sell for $99 instead of $100, right? So the guy only owes you a dollar. He doesn't owe you for the $60, whatever the placement cost is. So that's what the Gemara is about to say. Says the Gemara is about to say, let's say you have a case like this. Well, we'll see it inside. So it says, it took me a long time to understand this. It's a very new concept for American law, but that's the way it is. So if an animal went, you have an entire patch of a field, which is all Zipuris, except it has one place in the field, which is Edis. And the animal which came in, your friend's animal, which came in, ate from that Edis patch. And you assess that Edis patch on its own. So the payment the animal is going to have to, the payment the owner of the animal is going to have to give you for ruining that one patch, not just the eight, but he ruined, is astronomical. It's very high. It's the replacement cost of the mirror, right? So that's what it is. That's what he says. We don't reckon like that. Yochim Ochim Edis, Shemel Edis, if he ate from the best, do we give him from the best? I mean, it's Boris, or from the, he ate from the worst. Shemel Ochim Edis, Boris. That you give him from the ziburis, that you reckon it based on the ziburis around it. Hey, Chavida, what are you going to do in the case of Edishem ziburis? If the animal came in and trampled the best, good patch in a ziburis field. Tavas Agin, that one is worth very, very much. If that's the case, Nimtsay so much bills and Nisak, you're going to give much more than a Nisak than he actually should get. Why? Because again, the principle is not replacement, but rather diminished value. So therefore, if I go and I assess a patch of Edis in a field of Ziburis, so the guy, the damagee, is going to get far more damage than he should be getting. Because if you assess absolute value, it's an astronomically high number. Even if you assess the value of this field, in this parcel of the field, in contradistinction to the rest of the field, it's also a very high number. Because that the equivalent would be like this. Let's take an analogy. If you had on your car was the $100 jalopy, right? But he was mazik, you put in a $500 stereo in your $100 jalopy, right? So if you assess the value of the car, it's interesting, if you assess the value of the car with the stereo versus the value of the car without the stereo, the stereo, you know, in the jalopy is significant because people will pay more for a car with a stereo. But you take the same $500 stereo and you put it in a $50,000 Jaguar and you assess the difference between the car with the stereo and the car without the stereo, the difference will actually be less than it is in the jalopy. Do you hear that distinction? So that
it's relative.
Everything is relative. So that's what Yerushalmi says. We can't assess the radio based on its placement in the middle of a jalopy. We have to take the same radio, imagine it in a car of parallel value, and then it's being missing, which actually reduces the amount of payment you have to give. It's an amazing concept. Okay, so that's what it says here. So therefore, instead of looking at the field where the patch which is damages Edis and everything around the Ziburis, which would make the contrast so great that it would increase the amount of money the Nizak gets, rather look at the entire field as if it was full of Edis. And then we reckon this Edis portion as relative to the rest of the field, and vice versa, Ziburis also, if you had a patch was Ziburis in the middle of an Edis field, and the animal came and damaged that patch by itself, that you'd have, you have to pay far less than the cost we wanted to pay. So in that case, we also assess that ziburis as if it was part and parcel of something which is completely ziburis. Okay.
In real estate, I think it's the opposite. If you have a mansion in the middle of a row of houses that are just plain old houses, the mansion isn't worth as much as if you had a whole lineup of mansions. Because the resale value of the mansion in the bad neighborhood is not going to get you as much.
That's true. That's true. But it's
opposite.
And then you would have to assess, you know, in all cases, you'd have to adjust accordingly to give... to strike out. Sometimes it's going to be, Yerushalmi is saying both ends of the ground. Sometimes it's going to overcompensate, sometimes it's going to undercompensate. So therefore, you always have to take this one thing as if it was in a row. You have to take the mansion as if it was together with other mansions. In which case, you would be undercompensating where you just reckon its relative value, and where it is, you'd have to reckon its relative value if it was in a row of, you know, stately houses. Okay? So it says the Gemara, Nitza Mishalim, Midiris al Idis, and then he would pay from Idis and Idis, Miziburis Ziburis, and from Ziburis and Ziburis. Okay, now instead of Midnine, the Gemara asks, Velesle, change it to Velesle, it's Shari Terzer, it's Israel. Velesle, Rabbi Akiva, and he's talking, Shomilem Bidis, Rabbi Akiva holds, Vitaka, don't give the best of the Mazik to the Nizak. We only give what would have been the best of the Nizak. It says more, Leisa min haTorah. He doesn't hold that it's the Raisa. Isa min haTakona, he holds min haTakona. Midrabonim, we require the Mazik to give property of his best, regardless of what the best of the Nizak was. Mibnei Ma'omra and Nizakin, Shami Lambi, this, why they say Drabonim, that Nizakin get Idis? Mibnei HaGazlonim, because of the thieves. She Adam Omer, a person should say, Ma biyodi gezo, why should I bother stealing? Or Ma biyodi mazik, why should I bother damaging? Lemocha roim basedin, tomorrow if I damage or steal, tomorrow basedin see sada yopishli, my best field, v'noisa some ilfonai, and take away from me. So, because of takora as a deterrent, that's a rabbanan institute did this, that you give your best, even if it's far better than the nizak's best. Give all our midoraisa. You give based on the nizak's best, not on the mazik's best. Okay. Says my some kind of mikra, and they give an asmachta from a pasuk. Meitav sadehu umeitav karmo yishalem sadehu and karmo of the mazik, not of the nizak, even though it's only an asmachta. Akdun karko. This works for his land. When the mazik is paying land, what about mashkona? What about if we go in and take collateral from the mazik, pending his payment in land, but we take an immovable objects? So how do we know we take his best furniture? So it says more, lomi karko. We learn it from land. Ma karko beis, just like from his land, we take edis the best. Mashkona beis, so to his collateral, we take from this from the best. Okay, period. Ubachov, when we take from a debtor, we take rebaneroness. Because of the cheaters. What are the cheaters? So con men, actually, I should say. If we would take edis from creditors, so anybody anybody could go, any con man, and when he sees his friend as a good field, he'll loan him a amount of money and make sure that he defaults on the loan. Vokif, and he'll go treacherously around him, another man, and take his field from him in lieu of payment. So if we allow people to take edis on his payment on the debts, which are owed them, so then everybody's going to try and play ruses in order to get their friend's choice real estate. So that's only good bay notice. So says, well, on the other hand, if that's the case, we're afraid of these kinds of ruses. Matala Shimla Ziburis, that's only give Ziburis, not Bainerus. Says more of this flip side this. Ravira, he just said, Bikini, theoretically you're correct, that's the way it should be. I'll slowly know Del Spinona, we don't want to lock the door in front of the debtor, the people have to borrow money. And the creditors always knew they were against Ziburis, they'd be very unlikely to loan. Shalomach, the next day, who it should be wrote to the most. The guy wants to borrow, he ain't a motzi, won't find it if all he's committing is Ziburis. Doyash Rabbi Simon, there's a whole discussion on Mudir Shalim in the bottom. If this is the rice of the Rabbanan, that which we're about to learn, and whether it's Machlok, it's Bavli, Yushami, it's kind of difficult to say. But let's see what the Gemara actually says. Doyash Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Simon, Darshi. It says, Ba'ish, the individual who comes to collect a loan, Zeshliach Beis Din. That's the agent of basin. Why does the Torah speak about an agent of basin coming to collect loans? Why can't the creditor himself collect loans? So it says, and again, some first want to say this is the raisa. If the creditor goes in, who motzias ayofe, he's going to take out the best stuff he can find in the house, right? If you send in the borrower himself, meaning that he'll bring out what he wants, who motzias arai, is going to take out the worst furniture in the house. Okay, so what do we do? Shliach based in nichnas who motzias abeinunis. We send a shliach based in order that he should take the abeinunis to medium grade. Rabbi Shmuel, every Baal Chov, right. So that sounds like it's a deraisa. Shmuel made Vartor, and Rabbi Shmuel argues. He says, Vartor ushi yikonis aloive. Really mean deraisa, the borrower should extend what he wants. The chsiva isha sher tanei shebo, the individual concerning whom you have a debt, yotzi lecha savot, he should take out for you his payment in kind, hachutza. Outside, so everybody should have the discretion to give midoraisa, even ziburis. Midorabonan, they send a shliach basin in order that he should get bainanis. So they argue it's a deraisa de rabonan. Karko lame mashkono. And adkidu mashkono. This story about where you're paying in kind, and it's probably just a collateral until you get money. So then you give the Baal Chov has discretion, midrabanan, or perhaps he'd rice go rabbi simoi, then the shliach basin comes and it takes beinonis. So, karko, if you're collecting land, lame mashkono, we learn out from collecting property. From collecting mubu goods. Mamash gona, the collateral movable goods, bebanus is an average medium grade. Afkarko, bebanus. So, too, when you collect land, you collect bebanus. Now, the other one is actually very interesting, we're about to learn.
Do we happen to bother such an idea? Metalton has different grades?
No.
Supposed to be like
no, at first that's a good point. At first, I was very disconcerted by this idea, and I wanted when the idea of mashkom beidus came up on the bottom here, I wanted to learn a story about land, but it's impossible. So you see quite clearly the Gemara distinguishes between mashkom and karka. That the Gemara says explicitly the mashkom for nezek is idus, and the mashkom for chov is beinonis. Right, so you see the good point that the Bavli holds all metalchlin are in effect idis, but the Yerushalmi is drawing the distinction between grades and metalchlin. That's right, very good point. Okay, the next one is also not in the Bavli, although it says here we had the Yerushalmi a long time ago in Shviz. It says in Roshita Don Milsa, it's clearly like this: Milvashi Nasa Bo Kafronos. If you had a loan outstanding an individual and he started denying the loan. So the Shemitah doesn't cancel such a loan because it's no longer a collectible loan. Shemitah only cancels collectible loans, and it's not collectible because the guy is denying it. And vice versa, Kafros, let's say the loan was denied for many years, and then she nasis milva, now the lova admits it, b'shametes, so then Shemitah cancels the loan. So of course the lova would be smart to deny for 7 years and only admit it the last day before Rosh Hashanah, after the Shemitah year, right? So, Rabbi Yirmiya, I think here it's a statement. He said, "After midas adin kain." It's also true about areas of Choshen Mishpat, not to do with religious law, such as Shemitah, but in general, Choshen Mishpat. Milvet she nasis kafronis. If a loan became recalcitrant, right, he's not paying anymore. So goyve collects, and the word missing here is beidus. Then he collects, then it becomes like nezek and beidus, right? So that's what it says here. Kafronish inasis milva. However, if it was being recalcitrant, he was denying it. But then he became acquiescent and made it back into a loan. Go beidus, then you downgrade to beidus, just like any other debt. Okay. Now, Ancham Ela Idis, let's say there's only Idis, a guy only has Idis, Goyve, the charter so changes the Kulan Goyve, the idea is the same, everybody collects Idis. Beinonis, if he only has Beinonis, Goyim and Beinonis, everybody, the Nezek, the Ba'achov, and the Ksuvah Zisha, they all collect Beinonis. Ziburis, if all he has Ziburis, go to Ziburis, they all collect Ziburis. Edus of Beinonis, what a guy has, the top grade and medium grade, and he's talking Shemelan Bidis, then the people who are damaged, they get paid back with Edus. Ba'achov, Ksuvah Zisha, the creditor and a ksuva, they go down a notch, and there's no lower notch to go to, so they get Beinonis, right? Beinonis, if the debtor has Beinonis and Ziburis, he doesn't have any top grade, he only has medium and low grade. He's talking about Lechov, and then he's talking about Lechov, Shalom, Beinonis, they get the Beinonis. Uksuva Sisha, she gets the Ziburis. Right now, so those are pretty straightforward. What about this case? He's got super duper Edus, right? Right? Edus, it's called in the Bavli. Edus, regular Edus, he Beinonis Shalom, by him that's Beinonis. He's so wealthy that he's got super Edus, and what he calls Beinonis is everybody else's Edus, right? So, anybody else's Beinonis, he's Ziburis Shalom, it's his vis-a-vis him and Ziburis, right? You have a Michel Kohad, did I skip? I think it's. What?
No, keep going.
No, I did skip. What? I lost my flow. Let me just go back a couple lines. I say, Edis, you have Michel Adam. Edis. Edis. You're right, stop in the wrong place. I say, Edis, you have Michel Adam. Edis. So then that's his Edis. No matter, it doesn't matter. Beishal Yavish called them still Beinonisi. That's Beinonis. Ziburish Yavish called them Ziburisi. Doesn't matter. We go by his scale, not by the rest of the world. Okay, that's like we learned Rabbi Shmuel ben Mazik in Shomim. We go by his scale. We don't measure it by the rest, by an objective scale. Okay? What if his Edis, however, was Beinonis of anybody else? In other words, it was lower than anybody else's Edis. His Edis was only a Beinonis. So Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Yila said, Nishmina Minadot, turn out from here. Beinonis is Ziburis. If you have Beinonis and Ziburis, right? This is a quote from what we said a few lines ago. And he's talking about Lichov, Shamin Lahem, Mina Beinonis. The Nizakin and creditors get from your Beinonis. Uksuva Zisha, made of a Ziburis. It's only Uksuva, which is downgraded, as it always is, Ziburis. So, Kimbo that boy, Edisu Beinonis. Just like we say by Edisu Beinonis, Nizakin Doichle Balichov, Lubeinonis, Nizakin Pushle Balichov, Balichov, get Beinonis. So the Kabbalah here too, if we said that his Beinonis, his Edis is comparable to everybody else's Beinonis, were we to say that it has the status of Edis, so here too we should say, let the Nizakin push out the Baal Chov shall only collect Ziburis. So since it doesn't say that, since it says when you have Beinonis and Ziburis, both your damages and your creditors collect from your Beinonis, so it must be that even though the Beinonis by you is the best, it still goes by the absolute valuation, which is Beinonis. So we always go to the betterment of the guy who's collecting. If you have super Edis, and your Beinonis is really like everybody else's Edis, and your Ziburis is really like everybody else's Beinonis, we go by your reckoning, which is to your loss and the benefit of the guy who's collecting from you. And also, if you have only Beinonis and Ziburis, and maybe Ziburis, right? So your top grade is not would be considered by Ael's Beinonis, we also go to your detriment. And the Baal Lichov collect from that Beinonis, even though vis-a-vis you would see this. So we always go to your detriment. Okay? Says Mara Udkaba saw Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Mishai Rikha said not necessarily. Tipater Shoiso Idis Umuchara. Maybe the reason why you hear the Baal Lichov gets Beinonis is not because his Beinonis says we don't regard his Beinonis as being vis-a-vis him like Edis, even though he has no higher grade. But perhaps at the time that he contracted the loan, the Hoyslo Edis, he had Edis Umbachara. and then sold afterwards. So at that point, the Baal Chov already, since at the time of the loan, there was higher stuff, which is greater than this, he already locked into this field, which at that time was Beinonis. But it could be Enochanami, if all he ever had was Beinonis, so then the Baal Chov is downgraded, bumped down to Ziburis. It's only if at the time alone the debtor had Edis, that later on he can't force the downgrade to Beinonis subsequently. Okay. Uksuvas ish of Ziburis. Uksuvas ish collects in Ziburis. We had this already in Pesach to Uksuvas. Rabbi Yirmi said, Lo shalom olam asayim, it's only the base payment. Avo Uksuvas eba, Avo Uksuvas of din of the Uksuvas worth $1,000. The Tosef is goiva, you collect by Beinonis, because that's just like a debt. But Yosim are not true. If you look Uksuvas of din, or even the Uksuvas $1,000, ain't no goiva in Ziburis, you only collect from Ziburis. Why? Because the Tosef is because part and parcel of the base Uksuva. Vasi, in this machlok, this is going to ilin plugvusa like this machlokus, which is calls manchi revesa of here. It says, as long as a woman remains in her father's house, she collects her ksuva forever. Kozman, we don't possibly pass the opposite of this. Kozman, she remains by, as long as she's in her husband's house, she only has to collect ksuva either Srimachamesh Shono, only for 25 years. Well, might be passing the other way. As long as she remains in her husband's house, she can collect forever. Once she goes home, the clock starts ticking 25 years statute of limitations. But be that as it may, it's not germane for us. Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Simon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that there's a clock ticking at all is Lo Shana El Ksuvas Mono Simon, it's only for the base Ksuva. Avlais Ksuva also El of Dina, Brother Ksuva, that was Heto Seves, above and beyond that. The Tosef is just like a debt, and there's no statute of limitations on debt, so she can always collect that. And where Rabbi Avo, or Avo argued, Shari Yochan, Senator Rabbi Yochanan, I feel Ksuba Shalav Dinar, even the Ksuba is $1,000, in a Gaiva Simachamesh, only can only collect it for 25 years, because he holds, of course, the opposite, that all of the Ksuba has the status of Ksuba. Vasa Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi Shimon, Levi, Zimachlokos, we had previously about whether the Tosefis collects from Beinus, it's important to say Machlokas whether to the Tosefis it applies the statute of limitations or doesn't apply the statute of limitations. Okay? If it's like a debt, then you collect from Beinus and there is no statute of limitations. If it's not like a debt, it's like a regular suva, then you collect it from Ziburis and there is a statute of limitations. Okay, says more, it says the Tina Taman, but really it's not a continuation of what says previously, so shall be Tama Tninan, or just Ninan Taman, without the Dalit. Akoiz Luchas Lubno, Lubonim. Somebody writes the property over, this is really above, Vasa Sugya. So he writes the property over to his children. Akoiz Lishto Karka Kol Shehu, and he allocated his wife some land, but far less than she actually deserves, in the will. Idok Suvasa. She loses her Ksuva. Rabbi Marvim Zakalia, the Rab says only if she was made the executor of this will, because then she acquiesced. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, even b'mechalik b'fonea, even if you just make this arrangement in front of her, then she's not the executor, she's considered to have given up her rights to the ksuva. Why is that? So Rabbi Yosef Chanina said, the same principle said before, Omar, mikule ksuva shanokam, but ksuva is more lenient. Ksuva is more lenient, and therefore, the moment she shows even a minimal sign of acquiescence, we cause her to lose the ksuva. Honor Rabbi Barbara said, tonight time in Rabbi Yosef Rechina, relating back to the Sugya, the larger is Chinez Losel Tarbi Ksuvas Mon of Assign doesn't just apply to the base Ksuva, but since we had your opinions which link the Tosefis to the base Ksuva, Filu Ksuva Shamel El Dinar, Mikule Ksuva Shana, even the Ksuva is $1,000, one of the coolest Ksuva is that with ease she loses her rights to her Ksuva by just being party to will which goes against her Ksuva. Hello, Rabbis. Any problem in the custom of Shubanim, we do not collect from property which is under lien, but Malkum Sheish B'nei Chorin, in a case where there's property which is free and clear, a few lanes Ziburis. Even the property is free and clear is only Ziburis, tough on the creditors. And from Yilse Yisrael, Melon Ziburis, and from Yisrael, only collect Ziburis. Yilchim Shem Rabbi Yana said, Ain't from Yilse Yisrael, Ketanim, when we have orphans who are young, we don't collect from them at all. We start Shibis of Chesbah unless there's interest accruing on loan, which case every day they're losing more money, right? That case we collect. Even from the some who are minors. The issue is some say a ksuva sisha, also a ksuva of a woman, we collect from the orphan's property. Now, we had this in ksuvas as well. The reason why we do that is because we save the soimim the cost of mizonos. Well, actually, that's about the Gemara's current birthday. All right, Rami, Mishmim name is also not because of Ksuvan itself, rather because we say in the cost of having to pay Mizonos, once she demands her Ksuva and they pay it out, they no longer have to pay Mizonos. All right, remember Tanya, Rami Tanya said, Man Chachla Mizonos. Who's concerned with the Mizonos? Lamaisa, the base of the question is, from the time she demands her Ksuva, it's as if she collects it. And therefore, she shouldn't get any Mizonos anymore. Right? Because it's as if she got her ksuva, and she only gets ksuva until she collects her ksuva. So once she demands her ksuva in basin, it's as if she collects her ksuva. So therefore, why should we now give her ksuva to avoid what? She lost her mizonos anyway. So it says, "Manchach mizonos, Rabbi Shimon." The only person who holds that she's still getting mizonos and therefore we should pay up her ksuva, even for the property of Yisrael Mikdanim, is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, even if she demanded her ksuva, she still gets mizonos until she actually collects her ksuva. So therefore, it ain't over till it's over. So therefore, he says, according to him, we would want to collect the ksuva for a woman, for a widow, from the property of Yisrael Mikdanim, even though they're ketanim, in order to stop and cease the payments of mizonos, which are eating at the Yisomis property. Now, says more of Maikadun, according to Rabbanon, that she doesn't get mizonos the moment she demands her ksuva. So why, Taka, would we collect for the ksuva from the Yisomim in order to get rid of her? L'chora, you know, well, she lost mizonos because she demanded a ksuva. She shouldn't get a ksuva. And what's the issue? So it says about mivnei chino. You know why we do it? We do tzakon rabbanon in her benefit. The reason why you give her ksuva when she demands it, even the same as same ketanim, is that she should have grace. That she should be able to get remarried with ease. So it's like a second dowry we give her, and that's why it's a rachmonis which we gave her. Or I don't know if it's a rachmonis so much as the husband commits that his yisayimim should give her the ksuva, and rather if she wants to remarry, she should have the capacity to remarry. Okay? Says the Gemara of Yeshua, some say, we also collect for the property of yisayimim if they're reimbursing a theft or a damage caused by their parents. We also learned tarteon. We learned both these things in Mishnayos. Definitely learn from here. If it's something which has responsibility, which we assume to mean if there was a theft against the property, they got to pay. Nizokin, that it's damages, they have to pay minado. It says you only collect from the private Yisrael Ziburis. Kenny Masti is the way to read the Mishnah. Any from the Yisrael Nizokin, Elimina Ziburis. We only collect from the private Yisrael for Nizokin from Ziburis. Vatani, then we learn that's not true. When the son takes place of the father, even though he's an orphan, Nizokin get from Idis. And Balichov get from Bainerness and Ksuvas Yishub Ziburis. So we say you do collect each level according to its level. So says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yitzhak Rabun, can be awesome God or can be awesome cotton. Depends if it's an adult orphan or a minor orphan. If it's an adult orphan, then already you can collect from them whatever is proper. If it's a minor orphan, you can only collect Ziburis in only limited circumstances. Okay? Almost finished. We do not extricate money for fruit which is eaten illicitly. The one is going to give examples. Shvachakos for improvement of lands. Umozan isha and for paying a woman's mizonos, or the wife or daughter, vabonos, minachosim mishbonim from property on the lien, mimnei tikkun olam because of tikkun olam. Tikkun olam means because people won't be able to do commerce because they'll always be afraid that somebody is going to come and collect property which they bought years ago in order to satisfy some obscure debt. So Amotzi Metzia, also if somebody finds a Metzia, lo yishav mnei tikkun olam, he doesn't take a shvua. Why mnei tikkun olam? Because otherwise people are not going to pick up Metzias if you make them take shvuas every time they pick it up. So the Maharim Echid said, why don't we take this from the Chosim Yishubari mnei she'en lohen kitzva because there's no limit. And therefore, nobody will know to how much care they have to, you know, how much concern they have to have. So therefore, you just don't collect. Says the Gemara. Now, interesting case, it's a classic case. Gozel sade mishima. Reuven stole a field from Shimon. So Reuven's the thief. Shimon's original owner, the names are out of order. Shimon's original owner, Reuven stole it, Reuven sold to Levi. Okay? Uba Shimon. Shimon comes to Tarvin Levi, and he grabs it from Levi. Levi go with quick Aaron. Levi take, assuming the sale was guaranteed, he collects the principal, Mimshubanim Sharuven, even from property which Reuven sold away. Right? The Shimon, now, the so far that's clear, but Shimon goive achilas peros. Shimon collects the fruit which was consumed from the field, bibnei chorin shel Levi, from the free and open property of Levi. A very strange thing. It seems that Levi ate fruit from the field, which really was Reuven's field, which was Shimon's field, right? So therefore, Shimon comes and collects money corresponding to Achilles Peros from Levi's Bnei Choyrin. Not from Levi's Meshubarim, because it's a Dovashen Lo Kitzvah, and every time which has no limit, we don't collect from Rechosim Meshubarim. But since Levi had Hanoah from the field, he ate the fruit, we have to take from property which he has in order to reimburse Shimon for that fruit which was, fruit which was rightfully his. Okay?
Why does he even take it from Reuven, since Reuven was the guy?
Because Levi ate it.
Maybe
doesn't matter. When you eat it, you have to pay for it. Because you had that anah. Okay? It was a chiddush, but that's not such a big chiddush. It's a reasonable thing. Because you're the one who actually ate it. Yeah, we do it in Bavli too. Amar Levi Shmiyat. Now, what if Levi enhanced the field? So the enhancement, Levi Govis Akaren, Mishubarim Sharuvim, whatever enhancement he did, I'm sorry, the principle he takes from Reuven's Mishubarim. The guy was a shvach, the enhancements he made, Bimnei Choyin, he takes it from the free and clear property shell. It's a type where it shouldn't be Shimon, but rather of Reuven. At least that's what Corbinator says, that Reuven shouldn't reimburse him for whatever shvach he made. Rabbi Yochanan said, now Rabbi Chiyah said, name Rabbi Yochanan, very logical statement. On Rabbi Usha called him Mikhlo Shozeh, Leshiv Chol Shozeh. This is only if the guys who bought property from the thief, from Reuven, other than Levi, bought it prior to Levi's being mashbiach the field. But if Levi approved the field before the other buyers bought from Reuven, then that's davashish lo kitzba, but it's tangible and ascertainable. So then, goyves ha-shvach of yom shubadim, he collects the shvach yom shubadim shel Shimon. Now, Shimon is lav dafka, right? It's not necessarily Shimon. I think it's supposed to be here. It's here too. It's supposed to be Reuven. I just incorrected in my Gemara, but here too it's supposed to be Reuven. Okay, because in that case, the people who bought from Reuven should have taken into account whatever shvach occurred in fields sold by Reuven. Since he bought this field, which he's now selling to somebody else, Rabbah b'shem Rabbah and Rabbi Chia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan Omar, they said af achilas peros, who kachiavta. This is true also by achilas peros. Fascinating concept. Afik dala dinarim v'ushavach ashato. Let's say the guy expended $4 and it went up price. Now it's worth $6. So Levi, who did the shevach, gavi arba dinaraya. He collects $4, which was his expenses. Mimshubadim shel Reuven, from property which Reuven put under lien, right, which Reuven sold to others. The gavi trei achronais, and he even collects the two other ones, nibnei chorin, from the free property, shel Reuven, and here too it should be Reuven as well. So he collects the shevach from Reuven's property completely. The shevach, which he did before the buyers bought from Reuven these fields, that he gets even from Shubanim. The shevach comes afterwards, that he only gets from Nechorin. Now, the next, I think we'll stop here. The next one is actually very interesting, also one of these unique Rushamis, and it's connected, but the whole thing is connected, so we'll stop here for this evening.